Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 25th of May, recording at 9:21 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights here today, and it was another day of rock and roll, to put it mildly. First, in the Asian stock markets, they were weak, and it was not uncommon to see declines of on the order of 3%. Now, European stock markets were similarly or almost as weak as what we saw in Asia, and so were the Americas for much of the day, but then Wall Street, having been down 150 points, I think it was down 250 points on the Dow, yes, it was down that much, and the S&P was down around 30 points, but then a gradual recovery commenced towards the last couple of hours of trading, I suspect. And the S&P, having been down 30, actually closed up fractionally. So retraced almost the entire decline. Elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices were strong, particularly in Europe. They had been quite strong in the U.S. They still closed higher, but about a point and a half off the high for the long bond. And in currencies, the yen had soared, and the dollar was pretty strong, but nonetheless down a yen, 100, what was it? It fell down to 89, 27. And then yen to the dollar, and then rallied to almost unchanged. So those dollar and yen gains were pegged right back. That included the euro. The euro was very weak earlier on, dipped down to 121.78, but is trading now at 123.43. And what else to mention? Gold. Precious metals in general were weaker for much of the day, but when Wall Street came off its big sell-off lows, gold wasn't down all that much. It was down at 11.85 at one stage when Wall Street was at its weakest. But as Wall Street began to pare back those declines, gold edged upwards and actually closed near the highs of the day at 1200. Silver was still down a little bit, but well off its lows, and it's true of the other precious metals as well. Industrial metals were lower today, but again closed well off their lows. Crude oil also fell down to 67.15 at one stage, but is 69.44. Okay, you get the picture. What's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, there's been more than a whiff of fear in the air. I have a theory on this. I mean, there has been bad news. I've talked about the triple waterfall events plus the China draining of liquidity. But it really has been a very rapid and significant decline, causing technical damage, as I've mentioned repeatedly in these audios, and it continued today. My theory on this is that some investors are doing today what they wished they had done exactly 2 years ago. In other words, they probably feel that they held on too long as markets were starting to crumble, and so they're bailing early this time around. Well, good luck. My own view is that markets are deeply oversold. That's not just a view. In the short term, markets are deeply oversold. And I also think that we are very close to a short-term bottom. Actually, I'd written that before Wall Street had rallied here. I'll explain why in a moment. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if we haven't seen a short-term bottom or darn close to it. Now, one of the factors that influence me, other than the one-way sentiment that we have seen recently, we'd had that spike in VIX, of course. But when you look at the weekly view from Riverfront, there is a terrific a chart in there. There's always a good graphic at the back, and this shows the short-term put and call ratio, and it's a good contrary indicator. Obviously, people buy more puts when they're bearish, and that the puts have just soared up to levels that have led to short-term rallies in the past. And that chart was updated through the 21st, so you can be sure that it has moved higher in here this week. So again, I think we have reached a short-term low, but is it the low with a capital THE or not? Now, I can't answer that, and no one else can either. It would be prudent to assume that no, it's not actually the low. We will see. But my hesitancy on that is because of the technical damage that we've actually seen and because of the factors that we have been writing about, commenting on during the last couple of weeks, including the triple waterfall events. But what I do feel, though, is that there's probably more sideways risk, if sideways is risk, than downward risk overall. In other words, I do not think this is any kind of replay of 2008. And sure, there are plenty of problems around, but should we be discounting a depression as we did 2 years ago? I don't think so. Now, therefore, let's see, in terms of stock market action, well, we've seen some tails in here today on Wall Street, and usually at a short-term low, you get some churning, whipsaw activity here as the supply-dominated environment is offset by some increasing demand in the form of short covering and some bargain hunting. Now, what about winners and losers in the stock market overall from here on? Well, first, I do like the Asian region, as I wrote yesterday. Again, I'm not rushing in there, not least as I'm going on holiday tomorrow, off to the Heian Y Literary Festival once again with the family. But I lost the train of my thought there when I digressed on that holiday. So let me see if I can pick it up again. I like Asia. I'm not necessarily buying. I'm not buying here at the moment. Again, as I said, not least because I'm going off on holiday. But Asia's got the growth. Sure, maybe it slows down a little bit, and Asia, but Asia does not have the deflationary problems. It actually had some inflationary problems, but the deflation in Europe and to a lesser extent in the USA, more disinflation there, the drop in the price of crude oil, all that helps Asia considerably. So whereas Asia just squeaked by in late 2008 and early 2009 with a growth recession, in other words, just growth slowed down. But the Chinas and Indias, well, there are only two of those, but China and India actually never went into recession. And I certainly don't think they're going to go into recession this time, although most of Europe will. And I think we will see a bit of a slowdown in the recovery that's taken place in the USA. So I do like that Asian region, and I do expect it to lead the next sustained upward advance. What I don't know is how we get to that point. Do we get there very quickly? Well, that is not impossible, but that would surprise me, frankly, right now. Do we see some a short-term low and then come back and test it and get some ranging, and some of the weaker markets perhaps go a little lower, depending on events, a lot of sideways activity, quite possibly. That would be my main bet in here right now. That's my hunch. Okay, so what else about these markets in terms of winners and losers? Now, the euro and Euroland's prospects have just been greeted with unremitting gloom, and unrelenting gloom, I should say. But the euro is part of the solution, the soft euro. I don't think the euro is going to break up anytime soon. Will countries eventually leave the euro? Well, I've always assumed so. Is the euro's survival guaranteed? No. Currency unions have had a bad history, but I think its survival is pretty well assured for at least the lengthy medium term. But the point I want to emphasize is that the euro had been an overvalued currency for quite a while in terms of purchasing power parity, largely because it was the liquid alternative of choice to the U.S. dollar at a time when there was a lot of revulsion against the U.S. dollar. Well, people love the dollar today, and the euro is much weaker. That will do wonders for the consolidated earnings of Euroland's international exporters. Companies like Siemens, for instance, which I have traded on occasion in the last few months, although I don't have it at the moment. But that looks interesting to me. Daimler, BMW, they all benefit from this cheap euro. Will the euro get a bit cheaper? Well, currency trends usually overshoot, but it's already fairly cheap, and the big extrapolations are an indication that the euro has probably gone far enough for a while, or close to it, on the move down near the 120 level. Now, in the getting the winners and losers, the dollar has been so strong that the exporters that we previously favor, when the dollar was weak, we said, well, the sectors in the U.S. that we do like are the big global players, not least the technology companies, or most of all, I should say, the technology companies. Now, they face a headwind. I think the information technology companies still have a very bright long-term future, the big leaders. But again, their earnings will suffer somewhat because of the strength of the U.S. dollar while that persists. Okay, Sterling's leading exporters, which there aren't as many as there should be, but they benefit from the U.K.'s, I meant to mention, the U.K.'s leading exporters. They benefit from weak sterling. Okay, what else in here? How about the long-dated government bonds? Well, as soon as we get a decent technical rally, we'll see a lot of profit-taking in those long-dated government bonds. So that's a bolt hole position, and I don't think anybody intends to hold them through to maturity in terms of those 10-year or longer durations. And precious metals. Now, the thing about gold is that if we get a meltdown or a feared meltdown of global assets, then gold's going to come under pressure. We certainly saw that in 2008. We saw that today when the Dow was down 250 points. But overall, as I said yesterday, and I think I wrote it, that gold will fall less in all probability than stock markets and other commodities. And I think it'll also be an early leader on the upside during rally phases. So if we get a short-term rally in stock markets, and that's what I'm expecting, then I would say gold will move up a bit and take the other precious metals with it because they're looking pretty oversold. But I think that we have moved past the point where I think the odds are now against gold doing another up leg in this medium-term cycle overall. I think it'll actually quiet down overall, but it's a great long-term investment for those who hold bullion, and because it is steady, the gold shares will probably hold up quite well. What else to mention? Soft commodities. I think probably corn, which I'd mentioned before. I had some comments about evidently prices are much higher for corn in China. The growing conditions there, which are similar to the growing period in the USA, but the growing conditions in China have not been very favorable, and they may need to import more corn, which looks like it's base building. And I think, what about crude oil here? I think it's done some technical damage. It will probably rally in the short term, certainly if stock markets steady, get back up into the mid-70s, perhaps. But I think that when crude oil was up in the mid to upper 80s, not that long ago, last month, I think that that owed a lot to participation by funds. And they've taken a bit of a beating recently. I'd be surprised if crude oil got back up there anytime soon. And I think the shale gas story, which I've posted a couple of articles on once again here today, really is a game changer. So that's good news in terms of meaning that the world does not face the energy crunch that everyone feared back earlier. A few years ago. And on that note, so there is some good news, you can see. We should avoid an energy crunch. Also, all those energy exporters, such as often belligerent Russia, will have to be nicer to people because they will have other sources of energy. U.S. has got so much shale gas that gas coming from other parts of the globe, including Iran, Africa, that can be more of that can flow to Europe, making it less dependent on Russia. So these are all good points here overall. Oversold stock markets in the short term. Hey, it's not that bad or terrifying a world after all. On that note, I'm off on my holiday. Good luck to you in the markets and all the best.